It is just too good to be blessed by the Lord by being able to see another day and not allowing Him to know how grateful you are. So let's take 30 seconds and just by your applause and praising God and thank you, tell God how good it is to be alive one more day. Amen. Amen. You know how hard it is to take your mind off of you and put it 100% on God? It's not going to be that hard during the millennial kingdom. There's not going to be any more struggles with the flesh. Can I get an amen on that one? Yeah. I just want to make sure y'all are awake this morning. I mean, total elimination of you and I as the church having to deal with anything that's in our flesh. Total fear removed. I mean, I want you to think about it. No fear. No second thoughts about God. No first-hand thoughts about what's best for me. Nothing ever crossing your mind ever again to disobey. What a time the millennial kingdom will be. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. And thank you for your word. And Father, I know many others are thanking you that we're coming close to the end of the book of Revelation. But Father, there's still some good stuff in these next three chapters. Help us, Father, to see it clearly. Move me out of the way, Father, that you may have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us who need comfort, Lord, I pray you would comfort us. For those of you and those like me that need conviction, I pray you would convict us. Father, that we may hear from you and hear from you clearly. Thank you for your word. In your son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say.
Praise God.
Praise God. If there was an amen next to you, you know they're visiting. I'm going to put that up, bruh. Now, we're getting ready for the millennium kingdom. There's three basic views of the millennial kingdom. Christ crucified, then the church age, which we're in now, chapter 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. After the church age ends, millennial kingdom starts. The pre-millennium view is that Christ is going to come before the millennial kingdom starts. That is, 1,000 years of Christ ruling on the earth. Pre-millennials believe that it will kick off when Christ comes back to stop the war at Armageddon, to end the 7 years of tribulation of his judgment. Chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, verse 11, is Jesus Christ comes as judge. He eliminates the aspect of Savior and King. He comes as the judge. That judge starts the tribulation period. We believe at the end of that tribulation period, we are pre-millennials here in Antioch Bible Church. We believe that Christ is going to kick off the 1,000-year reign with those who we will be talking about in chapter 20. Next view of the millennial kingdom, called post-millennial view. The post-millennial view is pretty simple. Christ crucified, church age start. They believe the millennial kingdom starts after tribulation, but Christ does not return until after the 1,000 years on earth. Here is where you get the view from. Many post-millennial view people believe that the church should have a dominion, should take over and run everything until Christ comes back. Now, when you hear us talk about a dominion that the church has, it is from a premillennial view. And it's totally different than what you hear when people talk about dominion who has a postmillennial view, and that is that the church should take over the government and everything because that's what Christ has called us to do. Amen? That is totally different than what you hear us. We have a premillennial view of dominion, and that is getting ready for the dominating king to come back, the fifth world king, and we are to set that up for him. The last view of the millennial kingdom is the amillennial view. Amillennial. Christ is crucified. Church age goes until Christ comes back. Meaning that the church age is going to last all the way to the end until just before the great white throne judgment. There's a tremendous problem with this. In the amillennial view, they believe that there is not a literal 1,000 years. And some in the postmillennial view and some in the amillennial view believe that we're already in the millennial kingdom. And they said that, I kind of figured this way, if we're already in the millennial kingdom, if you are post or an are millennial viewist, and Satan's supposed to be bound, the sucker got a long chain. And he might as well not have it on, because he's still raising havoc on the earth. Amen. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
All right. So are we understanding?
Yes,
okay, talk to me. Premillennial view, which we are as a church, means that what? When does the millennium start? When Christ returns, he kicks it off, we rule with him. Okay? Postmillennial view. You got me with me? What? That means what? 1,000 years at first,
then Christ comes.
And anyone that has that view believes that the church should dominate and take over because they have to be obedient to the scriptures. Okay? Then we have the amillennial view, and that is no such thing as just a 1,000 years in your mind. And Christ will come back at the end. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Are we flowing?
Yes, sir.
Chapter 20, Book of Revelation. Millennial kingdom. Chapter 19 of the book of Revelation we just seen. When Christ came back on his horse, all the church came with him, stopped the war there at Armageddon, all wars of all wars, boom. There'll only be one war left after the war of Armageddon. Anyone know what it is? What's that? When Satan is released after being bound 1,000 years. We'll talk about that. Now, I don't want you to get confused about this last war with Satan. I don't want you to get concerned about this last fight with Satan. Fight is not the right word used. It takes two to fight.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is not going to break a sweat with Satan.
That's right. Amen.
Can I get a whip?
Amen.
It's going to be two licks past. God hidden Satan and Satan hidden eternity in the hellfire and brimstone. It's going to be a fight just like if my four-year-old, which may not be a good example, it's going to be a fight like my four-year-old getting in the ring with Mike Tyson. After being a little irritated and didn't like the way that guy's ear tasted. It won't last long. Amen. So we got to understand now, Satan, I don't know where we get this picture that hell is going to be Satan down there being the warden. You know, like everyone is up to their muck and their chin and all kinds of nasty, gucky, gooky stuff down in hell. And everyone is saying, don't move, don't make waves. Be still. And then here comes Satan through on a jet ski. I that picture at? Folks, there are no wardens in hell. Everybody is an inmate, including Satan. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Thank you. Chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, who is the devil. The with evil, the evil, the Satan. Bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit. Count with me how many times you're going to read 1,000 years in the first 6 verses of this chapter. And he's going to bound the devil and Satan and bound him for 1,000 years. How many times is that? And cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. How many times is that? And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. How many times is that? But the rest of the dead lived again until 1,000 years was finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are ended, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Folks, the very thing that we have been talking about since we started the book of Revelation, that the fifth world kingdom is coming, is going to be an eternal kingdom, and there will be no one that's going to ever rebel against it and stand ever again, is beginning in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. If you and I know that there is a truth that's going to happen, that we win in the end, why is it any thing for you and I to get worried in the middle of the game? I'm trying to give you today and the rest of the book of Revelation such confidence in what is going to happen as believers. We start living that victory today. Some people look at me and say, Pastor, how can you be with all this stuff going on? How can you be this way with nothing going your way? How can you be happy and up? Because I know I win. Can you imagine ruling with the Lord Jesus Christ? Sitting on thrones with him? Why wait till we get to heaven to have this victory? We are called as the church to let people know we win, they lose. You want me to give you the very first message of the church? Would you like for me to read something to you from the very first messenger in the Bible who talked about the church and what we are supposed to be and how we ought to respond to the world? Let me read something to you. The first person that was ever the witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in the church age. Go with me to Luke. Take a Luke in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 3. Is there one guy, I can hear them pages, man. If you ever go to a church and the pastor gives some verses out, and there's no rustling of the leaves, you leave. Can't hear you. Whew, man. Luke chapter 3. Whew, I want to see this right verse here. John the Baptist is speaking. Let's start with verse 5. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked shall be made straight, the rough ways shall be made smooth. This is the job of John the Baptist. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Verse 7. Then said he to the multitude, this is John the Baptist speaking to the multitude that's coming out of the city into the desert to hear him about a new way is beginning. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized by him, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath that is coming? Now, most people will tell you, you don't build a church with statements like that. That's not being sensitive. What did John the Baptist realize? This is the last warning for the world. The church age is the last warning to a world that does not know that the wrath of God is coming. And it is our responsibility to let the world know you are not doing it correct. God is not pleased with you. You are not okay. And you better get okay, because if you don't get okay before he comes back, you will never be okay. This is the message of the church to an unknowing world. And we're sitting around as a church like it is okay to be afraid to live our victory and warn the world. Why? Because of chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. Turn back with me. Let's break it down a little bit. And I saw an angel. Again, this is John, Apostle John, getting the revelation straight from Jesus Christ. And it's not the fact that he is seeing the future. Now, remember, the book of Revelation about Jesus Christ is not the fact that God is showing him the future. Oh, no, 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 no. What God did is he went, picked John up in the past, brought him past you and I, and put him in the future as it's happening. It went past us. You know, you heard that movie, Back to the Future? Can't hear you. Where do you think some of these ideas come from? God literally took him like a time machine and transferred him and sent him right in the midst of what's going to take place. Thus, you and I can know for a fact that it will happen. And John is sitting there and he's getting a revelation from God. And he says, I saw an angel. I love this. Did he say what and who the angel was? Can't hear you.
No, sir.
Why do we get caught up in it? There's more debates about who this angel is. We don't know who the angel is. But we do know one thing. He's going to be a bad boy. It could be Jesus Christ himself. Some things. It could be one of the angels in chapter 12 when they defeated Satan and body slammed him out of heaven to the earth. Can't hear you. Just took it bad, just whipped up on it. Could be Michael, the archangel. But we do know one thing. It says, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit. Some wants to say that that's Jesus Christ because he has the keys to Hades and death in chapter 1. Revelation. I don't know. Having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. I want to ask you guys a question. When this angel comes from heaven, come down to grab my boy, do you think he is serious about what he's getting ready to do? Do you think for one moment, now check this out. Any of you that are here today that are believers and anyone that are here today that are not believers, I want you to see what is getting ready to be set up here. And that is the natural aspect of rebellion in the flesh. As long as we are in this flesh, we are always going to fight against doing what is right for God. God is going to rule perfectly for 1,000 years on earth. In order for that to take place, he's going to have to lock Satan up. But the minute Satan is released, those who have grown up in a perfect ruled world under the power of Jesus Christ is going to rebel again. Now, I want to ask you a question. If Satan is still loose and still contempt and still deceived, how much danger do you think you are in to rebel against God at any moment? Don't ever say what you won't do. You can always say, by the power of the Holy Spirit living in me, I will walk with God and please him. Okay. I just want to see if you're with me. Seems like you're a little skeptic. Are you a little skeptics? Oh, okay. I wonder what goes through Satan's mind when he finally sees the angel coming to chain him up. Now, you got to understand something. There's other demons that's already been chained and locked in the pit. Now, someone was let out, remember, during the tribulation period when God was judging the world. Now, how would you like to be let out as a demon when you've been chained up for a while to turn loose on the world for a little bit? Could you be seriously mad? The king of this world, the prince of the air, Lucifer himself, is going to be bound by an angel, and not only bound, but put in the pit. And not only put in the pit, it says other things are going to happen to him, because God is going to eliminate for 1,000 years his influence on society to prove one point, and that is the flesh does not need Satan to do evil and rebel against God. Now, how many of us as parents wonder why our kids just won't do what we ask them to do? Can't hear you. Let me lean a little more. Why is it that our wives have such a difficult time doing what God says she needs to do? Why is it that your husbands had such a difficult time just doing what God tells him to do? Why is it that we have such a hard time just being obedient to the word of God? Because your flesh is constantly going to tell you that you have a right not to be obedient and come up with some stupid excuses to do what you know is wrong. You know what I think God ought to do sometimes? God ought to just send an angel to each one of our houses with a chain. I wish I had that power. I think you ought to send a chain to his house, Lord. Shake him up for a while. Go get her. Go sick her, Lord, sick her. And you just wake up one night and there's this angel. Oh, you don't want to be obedient to that, huh? Can't hear you. I know what happens when I call one of my dogs and tell it, get in that kennel. Then just when they get in the kennel, they put them sad eyes on you. Can't hear you. They know they've done something wrong, but what they get you that last they call. Get in there. Why do we do God that way? Satan is not going to have the opportunity to do nothing but get bound. What a glorious day for you and I as we stand and worship with the Lord to watch the angel come from heaven. Grab old Slewfoot. Grab hold to the devil, wrap him up in chains, throw him in the pit, and then make it soundproof. for 1,000 years. I want to let you know that's the way hell is, you know. We're going to get over here to the end of chapter 20 when we go towards the great white judgment throne of God. I want everybody to know you're not going to be at a party with your friends. You are alone, one-on-one, in a soundproof booth for eternity. Ooh, are we having fun yet? You gotta go. Are you sick, Pastor? No, we're not having fun. And I saw that angel, and he came down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, who is the devil. Isn't that amazing? His name, spelled with D-E-V-I-L. Satan. He was created as the highest cherubim. Gorgeous, magnificent. Prince of the air. Head of worship. Tell me, is there anything in a church that'll cause more argument than the type of worship? See, Satan hates worship. He hates you to worship. He detests worship in a church. You know why? It reminds him of his old job. And if you're going to try to worship God, you better have your armor on. If you think I'm kidding, try it. Something will come in. Something will start. A problem will end up, pop up in your life. Try it. Because he hates it. But he's going to be bound. Can I get an amen? But boy, it's going to be bound. Is there any other problem you have in your life is greater than Satan? Can you hear you? I cannot hear you. Is there any habit in your life more difficult than getting Satan bound? Can't hear you? Is there any person that caused you more problems in your life is more difficult than getting Satan bound?
No, sir.
Then you have no excuse to make excuses.
Right.
Not to be right before God and be obedient to what he's called us to do. We are a preliminary of the power of God to overcome evil in this time of warning the world that God is coming. Look at this. What's going to happen? Well, he's going to cast him, verse 3, into the bottomless pit. Can anyone tell me any idea of a bottomless pit? We know where the door is to get out, but we don't know where the bottom is. Can't hear you. Oh, no, no, no. That was a courteous amen there. That was a courteous shaking of the head. Let me see if I can lay something on you. You know what sin will do for you? It'll take you deeper than you ever wanted to go. You know what a door is to get out. But you don't know how deep you can get into badness. Simple repentance will get you out of the door. If Satan has the opportunity to repent, he'll be the first in line. God has removed that from him. He can't repent. You and I can. We know where the door of getting out of our sin is. Can I hear the church here respond to the pastor? Or should I just quit, go home, and lay down because I'm a sick man? Don't say amen, I'm a sick man. Put him in the pit, bottomless pit. I mean, there's no bottom in that pit. The bottom is less. And some of you right here in this church right now think you are sinking. You're kind of like in a bottomless pit. Whoa! Swimming. Trying to get out of that pit you're in. But you just keep on making bad decisions. Can't hear you. You ought to get deeper. Well, I can't get any lower. Ooh. Did You know, if you want to get out, you got to swim like this, amen?
Amen.
That means going up. You just keep... Can't get worse. God said, oh, yes, it can.
Oh, yeah.
I'm God. If I run out of ideas, I just come up and create some new ones.
That's right.
I can get you deeper. Can't hear you, church. Oh, man, aren't you glad the clock runs out? And we have to stop. Woo! Watch this. Ooh. And he shut him up. He set a seal up on him. Ooh, I wonder what that seal's for. He put a chain on him. He put him in a pit. He put a seal on him. I think he really wants to eliminate this guy for 1,000 years, don't you? I think he's kind of serious. Watch it. He's going to put a seal on him. Why? That he should not deceive the nations no more. You know why it's going to be good for 1,000 years? Anything you do for 1,000 years, you can't blame anyone else for it. Would that be a joyous thing in our families today? No. Come on, talk to the pastor. I mean, have an attitude that if you do wrong, it's just your fault. Would that be a surprise to somebody at home? You come home and someone's done something wrong and go, oh, no, here it goes. Please forgive me. It's my fault. We'll pass out right there. Kids, young kids, come in. Oh, I disobeyed. It is because I wanted to. You're the greatest parents in the world. Beat me. Parents right there have heart attacks and kids will do whatever they want from then on up. Be more kids bearing parents in the household like that, man. I'm wrong. Oh, 15 years of punishment? That's not enough. Give me 30. I mean, our courtrooms. Can you imagine that? And I'm going to tell you something. What's going on in our court system today, according to the Word of God, that Bates trial, I think that's Yates, the Yates trial. Let me give you a secret, folks, how God sees it. She is not innocent by reason of insanity. She is guilty by reason of insanity. That makes a world of difference. God says he hates the shedding of innocent blood. He never, ever satisfied for any reason for shedding innocent blood. From that Yates woman drowning her 5 kids all the way up to abortion. He hates the shedding of innocent blood.
Amen.
She is guilty by the reason of insanity and should be punished accordingly.
Amen.
Now, I hope I step on somebody's toes with that one. I truly do, because Christians, you are too weak to be warriors for Christ. Because you think Satan going to take you as a prisoner? Just because you can say, ooh, I don't think we should do that. Satan cracks up. I got you where I want you. I'm going to kill the rest of the world. That's why God got to bound the boy. We're going to seal him up. Are you excited he's going to get sealed up?
Yes, sir.
Okay, he's going to get sealed up. And how long is he going to get sealed up so he can't deceive the nation? Till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he's going to be let loose a little bit. So he can come and raise a little more havoc. Oh, what a glorious day that's going to be. Should we run a little bit more? Oh, we're already over a little bit. Let's go. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgments was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received this mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Boy, that's so much talk about the first resurrection and the second resurrection. Who is in the first and who is in the second? Who's going to be raised at the end of the tribulation? Who is raised before? Who goes pre, post, and mid-tribulation. All those things we got to get and talk about as we finish up the book of Revelation. Are you glad you're here today?
Yes, sir.
Are you glad that we win?
Amen.
Are you glad that if we win, why are you afraid right now? I'm not. At all. Because as a Christian, I am the only person on this earth that can't afford to quit breathing.
Amen. That's right.
Have a good day. Amen.
I'm going to meet with Chris on Tuesday.
Okay.
And I'm going to send you an email this afternoon. I really haven't said anything.